Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. He's back! Back in black, ladies and gentlemen, like frickin' Akadaka. It's Vinnie Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen. Been on holiday for about 10 days. And you know what was something very interesting about being on holiday from conspiracy theories and people coming to talk to you about helping them out and exposing scumbaggery and doing videos and all of that kind of stuff, because you're pretty much the only person who does that sort of thing in this country? There's no such thing as a holiday. I was interrupted on average 6 times per day for each of those days of my holiday by people needing me to do something for them. And the vast majority of which I did help, including Ian R. Crane, who came over here from the UK to deliver 4 lectures. And those lectures are now published up on my YouTube channel. You can click on the eugenics button, the YouTube eugenics button on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com if you want to go see the 4 90-minute and 720 HD lectures of his that I had published and uploading within 24 hours of him delivering those speeches. There is also, what was his name, John Ansell, who is a guy from, I think, the ACT Party or whatever, leading this new party discovery called the Colorblind Party, attempting to rid away with some of the racial divides and what have you with New Zealand and what he calls griever Māori and the industry that has flocked abound around treaty claims. Uploaded that. So even on my day off, even on my week off, ladies and gentlemen, I still actually wind up producing more content than most people do when they're doing 40 hours a week of this kind of game. All right? Seriously. I was quite surprised at how much I did. So today we have a very special guest, and his name is Will Berlinghoff. His website is rainbow-phoenix.com. That's www.rainbow- like the little dash in the middle thingy there, phoenix.com. Will, welcome to the program. He's joining us from Canada, I believe.
No, actually, Vinny, I'm joining you from Australia, a Canadian who's now living in Australia, as it happens.
Well, that's funny, because we had a conversation yesterday and there was sort of a bit of a confusion, because you're married to an Australian and I thought you were living in Canada or Australia, but now we know.
Yeah, my wife wouldn't have appreciated my living in Canada and all that, I think, so I moved here about 4 months ago.
Oh, right. How have you been enjoying it? Is Agenda 21 coughing up some nice sparkling chemtrail lovingness for you?
Well, actually, I'm very fortunate to be living in a section of Australia, in Western Australia, actually, where we just aren't having a lot of chemtrails, I'm happy to say. So no problem there.
Yeah, I've heard that Western Australia is kind of like in a league of its own. The city Perth, I think, is the most isolated city in the world, and it's got its own government in Western Australia and all of that kind of thing. It's vastly different from the rest of the country and indeed the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was in Perth a few weeks ago, and I must admit they have no end of chemtrails and HAARP activity happening there. I've never seen any clouds like that in my life. So it was quite amazing. And then come back here to the small town of Denmark, Western Australia, it was just a total relief to come back to sanity again and clear skies. So it was great.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose one time when you think about chemtrail activity, I've been receiving emails and messages from so many people that are living in rural areas where you wouldn't expect it, and they see these giant ones come right across every now and again.
Yeah. Quite honestly, I think they just forgot about Denmark and deemed it as not significant enough here in this part of Western Australia to even worry about chemtrails.
Is it much of a food growing? Is it much of a food-growing area?
Very rural, yes. A lot of organic farming happening here and dairy cattle and things like that. So I don't mind that at all. Good diet. I've actually lost weight since I've come here. It's either that or my wife is starving me to death, one or the other.
You know, something my producer noticed when he moved to New Zealand from the United States, all the different higher quality food that we've got here, his entire family just shed the pounds.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. In any video links that I do back home to my family and friends in Canada, they all remark on how much weight I've lost, and that's the truth of it. So I'm not dissatisfied with that at all.
Okay. Well, for those who are unfamiliar, you're a shaman, a practicing shaman. Can I ask you, what exactly is a practicing shaman in the Agenda 21st Century?
Well, that's a very interesting question in itself. I did study shamanism through a group in the United States called the Deer Tribe, and that allowed me to find that connection with Mother Earth or the Earth Logos, Gaia. And I think that simply gives you an impression or an understanding of the significance of the consciousness of the planet itself. Now, I wouldn't describe myself entirely as a shamanic practitioner, but I do have my shamanic background, and I would say that my real focus is more the spiritual information that I have access through my channeling ability, but that has a lot to do with the shamanic approach too. So that's how I see myself as a practicing shaman of a spiritual nature.
So let me get this straight. You're sort of an information conduit plus channeling equals a spiritual guide?
Yeah, that would be a very good way of saying it. And I do have a background in psychology from way back. Don't ask me how long ago I graduated. But after my graduation and, you know, emerging out of the web of the manipulated consciousness, I started my own personal journey that many years ago, 30 plus years ago, and along the way I've just acquired the ability to be able to be this open conduit for a living force of consciousness that calls itself cosmic awareness, and that is the area that I specialize in. But I have been able to do things like the tarot card readings and counseling work, regression work, all of that is all part of the umbrella that I sit under.
Well, it says on your profile that you are good at getting people through trauma and what have you. How exactly would you go about that?
Well, my personal approach to that would be to help them get into the level of the trauma, that being through, if I'm doing a counseling session, through taking them through regression therapy, taking them into a deeper level of their consciousness. I work at what I call a multidimensional level. So my acceptance of the fact that we have a consciousness that far exceeds our physical awareness and understanding is that which helps me the most in helping them get to a traumatic situation in their lives. And quite honestly, what I would help them do is re-script the trauma and release it from their consciousness, from their body, from their lives. And that's how that part works. It's actually a little more detailed, but I think that's the thumbnail sketch.
Well, trauma for me is actually one of the most beneficial processes that your mind and body can go through. In that, there's an old saying, it's those whose reach exceeds their grasp are the only ones who find out how far they can truly reach. And I relay this to trauma as well. Those who have suffered the most are the only ones who can find out how much they can truly survive.
You know, you have a very, very valid point there. Because trauma, when it releases or when you have recognition, when you understand the lessons that are contained within a traumatic experience, can be very liberating. But equally, it can be very damaging if you can't release that negative experience and the negative effects of that experience. And that's why I think it is important to release the trauma so that you can actually access the lessons and the experience that lie beyond it. It is a little bit, I'd say, like, you know, going into a cauldron and being refined from the dross into the purity of gold or the purity of spirit or consciousness.
If I may, it sounds similar to chiropractic, where you've got all these pressures and traumas in your life that actually have a physical effect on you. You get manifestations in your spine and discs slipping and things like that. And really, really highly skilled chiropractors can figure out what that past trauma was in your life, and then give you an adjustment, and it puts you back right and lets it go.
That's a good analogy right in itself. I like the analogy of colonics, where many layers have been impacted in the intestinal tract. And, you know, as those layers impact there, the ability to absorb or to function well is greatly reduced. And colonics, of all things, would take those layers away. So I guess I perform a kind of colonic practice there of removing the layers that impede one's clarity and wisdom and knowledge. And like a chiropractic procedure, once you relieve that pain or those layers, then you come to the essence, then you come to the actual base of one's personality, and you can function so much better as a result. That's how I see it, at least.
Well, I think of this, we're talking about essentially medical treatment, right? Or not in the allopathic sense of the word, or the but we're talking about deeper things, and if you have a look at what causes illness, 90% stress.
Absolutely. Stress and a buildup of that energy of the mind, of the heart, because it's often very emotionally related, that it layers up again, and we think that's normal. We assume that we have to live at such high levels of stress. In fact, we're taught you have to have stress because stress is what gets you through. Well, stress is a motivator. It helps indeed in helping people deal with situations. But I think there's another way, and this is part of my shamanic training, that taught you can have something called relaxed focus. In other words, you do not have to be on that edge of rawness all the time. You can actually deal with life in that relaxed way where the focus is so complete and thorough that you can sail through the situation without losing control. Because under stress, often we also lose control and are incapable of dealing with any given situation because of the stress. So it's one of those things I feel that there has to be a balancing here of how much stress is good and how much is detrimental and negative.
I would say that the short-term stress, which is like, oh, I've got to get this done now, I've got to get this done now, and then you get it done, and then that's fine because that's a time-sensitive short window. It's the constant suffering, stressfulness, nervousness, living one day to the next that really pisses people off.
And if you really look at our lives and how we've been shepherded into a type of lifestyle where long-term stress is debilitating and accumulative, you can see why illness begins to take its toll. Of course, on the other side of the coin, those who are in charge of the medical industry love that because it just gives them more business. So no problem there for them.
Yeah. Well, problem for us equals revenue source for them. That's how I've kind of become to understand the medical industry. Essentially because it wouldn't have a business if people weren't sick. And I believe that it might be acutely aware of this. It may be at some level of the medical establishment that illness equals profit. And so they purposely give people pills and vaccines and other radioactive therapies and what have you in order to make them sick so that they can keep treating them for the illnesses that they propagated in the first place.
Absolutely. You've got that correct. And isn't it a wonderful scam that they've got going, that they've convinced the audience, the masses, to believe that their particular form is that which gives them health and well-being when it's exactly the opposite for most cases. Now, don't get me wrong, I do know there are those times when we need to go to our doctors, need to go into our hospitals, need that treatment. But I am a firm believer that if you actually get to underlying causes, if you reduce the stress and the emotional impact of traumas and whatever else is needed, then you're going to start putting yourself on the road for wellness. And that is something they certainly do not want us to look into, because if that was the case, as we're saying, they would be minus a revenue source. Then they extend that concept into the areas of control over the foods we eat, the sprays that are put on to them, availability of those practices that are, quote, alternative, so they're always under attack. But instead, we get a plethora of techniques, of approaches, of medical practices that are actually all designed to keep us ill and not in a state of balance or well-being. So you can see, as many of your listeners, I'm sure, already know, how insidious this whole...
Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like they're trying to create order out of chaos. That's exactly what they do all the time. Create a crisis, and when people react to the crisis, they come back and ask you for help. You're only too willing to oblige, as long as they give up all their rights and sovereignty and give you all the power and money. We'll be right back at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein control. These hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police, trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Standing alone against scumbaggeroom. Oh, yeah. Synchronicity. Have you ever heard of this, ladies and gentlemen, how you just kind of think about something and then all of a sudden it happens? I mentioned in the first segment how when I was off on holiday, I filmed some stuff for Ian R. Crane when he's speaking here in New Zealand. And on my way to the presentation, I was thinking about my mate Barry, who occasionally donates me some petrol vouchers and who knows more about guns in New Zealand than anybody I've ever talked to in my life. Really, really knowledgeable dude. And on my way to this series of lectures, I was thinking to myself, Barry. What am I thinking about, Barry? And then I pull up. There is one space left in the car park, and it is the closest possible space to the opening door and the ramp to get all my equipment inside. And who's walking towards my car just as I park up? Barry, to help me carry all my stuff inside. And then Ian Crane, during his lecture, he talks about how this phenomenon of thinking about somebody and you don't know why you're thinking about them, and then suddenly they're there, that suddenly they show up to see you, or they give you a phone call or something of that nature. And me and Barry looked at each other and was like, yes! And it's a daily basis thing for me, essentially. And I put it down to, I guess you can only really rationalize the things that you don't fully understand and can scientifically explain. So I rationalize it like this. The reason why nothing like that ever happened to me before getting into this field of work is because all I was doing was working for some soulless corporation, not doing something that I really wanted to do, not fulfilling my creative potential, not talking with people who I thought were really intelligent, who inspired me and encouraged me or whatever and made me better on in my life. I wasn't sitting right with the universe. Now I'm doing the direct opposite of all those things that I was doing, and I am sitting right with the universe, and the universe confirms this for me by doing things for me. My very special guest is Will Berlinghoff from rainbow-phoenix.com. Welcome back. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's my realm of expertise, if you will, the realm of that which is beyond the norm. And we are talking here about the consciousness of each and every human being, their greater truth, their greater reality, their greater being. And, of course, what you're describing are acts of synchronicity, meaningful coincidence, as most people understand that term. But I take it to be something actually beyond that. I take that to be the indicator that in that expansion of our consciousness, those parts that we're, quote, unconscious of, there is still connection with one another. There is connection with a greater spirit, as the Native Americans call it, or divine consciousness, or that which is our awareness, our understanding, our consciousness beyond just a physical state of focus. And that when we are in that place, often at an unconscious level, we are still emanating our thoughts, our being, and we are still receptive to receive from that greater source information, acts of coincidence or synchronicity, whatever. And I do think that as we expand our conscious understanding of ourselves so that the unconscious shrinks and that which is our more conscious focus expands, then we can partake in acts of synchronicity, can certainly be part of that greater morphogenic field of consciousness that does exist. And it's always wonderful to have experiences where you think of a person and bang, there they are, or they phone you, or some event happens that's in relation to what you're putting out as a need or a thought. And that does, unfortunately, also mean sometimes on a negative side, which is also why it's very crucial, very important to start realizing that our actual beliefs define the realities that we are experiencing. And this is one of the biggest secrets the powers that be, the elites, do not want you to understand. That in your own way of thinking, in the beliefs you hold, that you actually are creating the reality of your experience. And once that starts happening, then you are starting to step out of the control that those in power have. If you really think about it, everything of life is an indoctrination process. And I am being polite because I could easily call it a brainwashing process. And they want you to think in a certain way. They want you to live in a certain way. They want you to be ignorant, dumb, and stupid so that you never, ever ask questions, so you never come to a point of clarity that, hey, maybe that thought I've had and maybe the beliefs I hold are actually shaping my reality. No, they've got to have you as the asleep victim that never understands, and where victimhood is A-OK, because then you're in their little box and they can control you. So we go from the whole concept of synchronicity to an expansion that allows us to start to understand that we actually have much greater control than we think we have over our power, and that includes the experiences of a nature of that order that are extraordinary and that are well beyond what they are trying to do to us. But hey, they've got 90%, perhaps 80%, if you're really optimistic, of the populace under their control, under their thumb, asleep, stupid, and dumb. And that's how they want it to be.
Well, that's the power of two things coming into light there. The other, one being the power of the subconscious, and the other being the power of denial. And what I find very amusing, essentially, is people who deny that the subconscious is has a great effect on them. And so you ask them a simple question, okay, what goes on in the subconscious mind? And they go, I don't know, it's subconscious. Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, there's an interesting and even what you could call ancient understanding of that philosophy. It was an alchemical, philosophical way of thinking that is called Huna. Huna is still practiced to this day by kahunas. Most people think a kahuna is some surfing dude, some retrobate who's out there irresponsible and everything. But a kahuna was in the Polynesian islands, especially in Hawaii and around the Hawaiian islands, a very understood technique of what is consciousness? How do we function? And they label it into three parts. There is that which is the low self or the subconscious. There is that which is the middle self, which is our understanding of our identity, who we are. And then they call it the high self or the superconsciousness. And the superconsciousness is our actual conscious being in an expanded level. It's not in a physical form. So it is the guide or the energy of focused conscious thought that exceeds us. And the three parts the kahunas understood needed to be merged and blended into one. And that's why, because they knew how to do this, kahunas could do amazing things. I mean, they could do instant healing. They could walk on lava flows, which we now know as corporation outreach programs, where they teach their big wigs to walk on coals, big stuff. But that's pure Huna. That's pure subconscious saying, okay, I can do this. And then, of course, we are those spiritual aspects that are housed in this physical body. So as the kahunas understood this to a greater degree, they could use that force of conscious awareness to do these miraculous things. They could create chi or ka energy and direct it. They could communicate with the elements and the creatures of Mother Earth. These are the stories of the ancient kahunas that now we consider as fables and fairy tales, not possible, but it is still very much possible.
Indeed, there must be people that walk the earth today that are capable of doing such things and in fact continue to do them, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not one of them yet. I'm working towards it, I hope. But I think that having that kind of understanding, quite aside from doing those extraordinary types of activities, certainly gives one a greater capacity, and now getting back to what we talked about earlier, to deal with those buried beliefs and attitudes, to help the subconscious realize it has a different role than that which is an unconscious driver of our bodies and a creator of our reality. And that's where we have a freedom then, true freedom, because once we start understanding how we are this three-part being, this triunal being, and once we start to integrate this knowledge, we actually step beyond anything that can be done to us. We become the creators of our lives and of our reality. And I do believe that humanity is on the verge of rediscovering this. And there are those, as you've just mentioned, who know this and work with it. It is very amazing when what we believe and think turns out to happen. Like your example of meeting your mate there as you've parked there and he comes out. Could also be understood that your subconscious was communicating with his subconscious, both from an unconscious level, provoking that response on his part to come out just when you arrived so he could help you take your stuff into the building.
Mm. There's a South American tribe. I think they came out of the Andes in 1969 after being locked away from the world for 25 generations in accordance with their prophecy. And they came out and started saying, look, this is the prophecy, da-da-da-da. And the upshot of it is there's going to be some kind of electromagnetic disturbance from the sun, and it's going to wipe out all your communication devices. But you won't need those communication devices anymore, because that subconscious communication of which you were speaking about would be now more readily accessible to people.
Absolutely. It's all I can say is I believe that is so on certain levels, definitely. But I also have to say, good thing we're communicating now before that happens.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, There's the problem that I have. I had these guys drop around to my house the other day, and they asked me about this 2012 shift and what I thought about it. And I was thinking, well, what kind of shift are you talking about? Are you talking about a dimensional shift? And they're like, what's a dimensional shift? And I go, well, you know, this 1D, which is a straight line, 2D, which is a picture, 3D, which is a box, 4D is a box flying through time, that kind of thing. 5D exists outside of those four spectrums. And what some people believe is that when there's a huge kind of consciousness shift, we're going to cease to be three-dimensional, shifting through time in the 3D through 4D, and we're going to transcend both the physical realm and time and space itself. We become interdimensional beings, in other words, with access to the past, present, and future simultaneously. This is the belief of Sun.
Yes, absolutely. And it's my belief very much so, only I would interject that it's not that we will become these multidimensional beings. I assert and hold that we already are those multidimensional beings. It's just that we are so dumbed down in a physical reality that there are certain laws that bring this reality together. And one of them is that we forget that we are these multidimensional beings. We forget that we far exceed those physical limitations and live accordingly. Thus, I do have to agree, everything in this physical reality, because we have forgotten who we truly are, is in alignment with the rules and laws of this reality that govern this reality. And I do think that the events that are coming up, that which is known often as the ascension process, ascending to a higher level of consciousness, is actually just remembering who we are in the first place. And once that you start that process, it is a ride that will take you to the summit, but sometimes, like a roller coaster, will come up and down and up and down as you're negotiating this reality, as you're breaking free of those restrictions in consciousness itself that bind us to this physical reality. And that is, for me, why this is such an important time. There are many predictions right now of the events that will occur, the solar flare concept, the cosmic wave, Mother Earth going into convulsions, earthquakes, disasters, everything. I am not a believer, personally, that the reality I'm about to experience will see the annihilation of Mother Earth. I am a believer that the events may be precipitous to, you know, the changes in consciousness that are needed, because the reality that you've held on to so for so long too has literally been shaken apart or wiped out or whatever. But as the Amazonian Indians we're discussing and saying, if at the same time that frees you in your mind, in your consciousness, to find those links that I was talking about earlier with one another and with the planet and all of her living.
Okay, well, we can't hear you. Been kind of cut off rudely by the extremely loud break music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will Burning Off from rainbow-phoenix.com. Final segment coming up.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out. and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TVI brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. I was on holiday for about 10 days, but now we're back. And thank you very much for the delay in which. And also a special announcement, the financial crisis. I'm having one. So if you are capable of donating, please do. Like right now, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's a little Vinnie's financial crisis thing up there to donate now. Very, very much appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen, because, well, it's Christmas time and ain't nothing going to destroy your Christmas like being broke as a mofo. So if anybody can help me out, yeah, I need your support right now more than ever. My very special guest is Will Burninghoff from rainbow-phoenix.com. Now, Rainbow Phoenix, we wanted to talk about that, but firstly, you kind of were, had a point that you were, had to reiterate before the break came on.
Yeah, I was just saying that this whole expansion of our understanding of what and who we really are is that which is commonly understood as the ascension process, ascending in consciousness. And I was stating that while there may be earth events and everything, and a lot of people are just really looking forward because they're going to be survivors, they're going to make sure they've got their stash and nobody's going to take it from them. Well, that's just one level of reality that could be theirs through this process of ascension. Now, it's a negative ascension for those who want to make sure that they continue in a third dimensional reality where they struggle and fight and fend off and survive. Whereas there are also those levels of reality that have to do more with us moving more into that fifth dimensional level of consciousness you referred to earlier and superseding our three-dimensional form. Now, those who manage that level of ascension, and it doesn't come simply because one says, I'm going to ascend. It's going to happen. There is a degree of work that's involved in self-awareness, working on growth and development of mind, heart, and spiritual awareness. But that is a different level of the ascension experience. Then there will be those experiences that many hold that will see various levels and degrees of upheaval. But basically, things will pass through, pass over, and they will carry on in their existence. Now, that is seems to be contradictory. How can there be these different scenarios? But part of the understanding that I hold through the channeling work, through the bringing forth of cosmic awareness, which is exactly what it indicates, a consciousness of cosmic proportion, cosmic awareness. And in the years of channeling, but especially over the last year or so, what awareness is really revealing is there's not going to be one linear experience that everyone has. There are going to be a multitude of timeline experience, each individual having his own timeline that will take them into the reality that will be formed after the ascension experience is complete and done. I mean, that again is just one of the really toenail descriptions here, thumbnail, but it gives you an understanding of how complex it really is, that which is awaiting us, that which we call the ascension experience. So,
You know, I've always found it very, very dangerous to try and predict future things, unless, of course, it's a planned agenda and they've admitted what they're going to do, and then you can just go, oh, yeah, and yeah. There's nothing psychic involved there. I've talked to a number of psychic and intuitive people, even Cliff High from the Webbot program, which kind of started sending out little things to the web and bringing back data packets and coming up with these really strange predictions. Some true, some came to fruition, some not. But what's interesting is that these different sources that I've been talking to, they all seem to experience the same thing. There ain't no data beyond December 21st, 2012. It's as if the future's not written yet, and we're writing it as we speak.
That's right. And here's the problem. They're dealing with a linear projection forward. And linear means that their projection, their expectations, their beliefs are going to form their future. But if we each, as an individual being, have our ability to do that, then it's not one linear reality that is going to fit all, unless, this is very important, unless you make it fit. And that's what the controllers want. They want as many people with the same belief system and same expectations so that they can manipulate the future. Thus, you know, the David Icke's problem, get the people to ask for a solution and then bring the solution in you want. That's what they're doing. They're creating the problems. They're enforcing a mindset. They want people to look towards that, and that's the reality that's experienced by the masses. But if you follow this other way of thinking, where we develop and expand our own understanding and awareness, we project our own reality, then we can create a different timeline, a different scenario. It is so anyway. You are doing that, but you're doing it in freedom. You're doing it without the objections of a mass belief system. You're doing it despite those objections even. And that's when we have the expansion. That's when we can have the other timeline scenarios. I mean, in the end, everyone's creating their timeline. Why not create the one you want? I would say that's the best way to move forward.
Yeah. You know, a whole lot of people who come home from work and they complain about how bad their work is and how bad their employee, the people that they work with are, and how bad their boss is and everything like that. And they're not asking you to help them. And they're not planning to help themselves.
That's right. Absolutely. They're in their little smug container, and that's how it is, and that's how it is. And nobody else has ever said that it couldn't be that way, shouldn't be that way. Everyone else is in their little box and container saying the same things, and they support each other. That's reality, you know. Then someone comes along and says, hey, mate, maybe we can do it differently. Maybe your beliefs are what are defining your reality. And what is their response? You're freaking crazy. That can't be so. My politicians aren't lying to me. My priest is not molesting my children. I am eating healthy food. You know, it's not irradiated, not sprayed. It's healthy. All of the crapola, if you will, that is believed by a majority of people, because that's reality. Yes, it's their reality. It's important always to go beyond that box, go beyond the mindset. And that, I think, is the true act of claiming one's freedom in life. And it is perhaps the hardest thing of all for most people to do, because they actually have to wake up to do it.
Well, Will, I've said for a long time that the crazy people aren't the ones who are waving the signs that say it's the end of the world or you know, protesting or whatever. They're not the crazy ones. The crazy ones are the ones that are the ones who walk by and they don't even look at the signs. They just look at their shoes. They're going from point A to point B and not acknowledging the fact that there's a whole other alphabet out there.
Absolutely. They're so asleep, they're so dumbed down, that anything that actually gets their attention that way is threatening to them. Because in actuality, once you start to ask questions, once you open that door, even a crack, then you're going to have to look at something else. And it's too disturbing for most people. They do want to believe the lies and the manipulations and the cons that have be enacted upon them, because to do otherwise means you might have to do something about it. And as long as you've got your beer and your Monday night football and the comfort zone of the reality you live in that is in coordination with everyone else's comfort zone, then you're normal, then you are okay. The trouble is, that isn't okay. That is where the pain is. That is where the problem of being closed in mind and spirit lies.
I'm miserable. I'm unhealthy. I have a slave job. I'm stuck in traffic for hours a day, and I spend the rest of my relaxation time feeding myself with brainwashing programming from the mainstream media and vacuous American Idol programs. And I make sure that I smoke copious quantities of weed and drink more alcohol than a Comanchero on the frickin' warpath every single weekend. And I go out and I listen to the exact same music and the exact same clubs with the exact same friends that I've been drinking with and talking with since high school, who know nothing more than I do, and I know nothing more than they do, so I never actually get myself anywhere in life except into debt and more habitual enslavement. I'm normal.
Exactly. And I'm free. I wouldn't call it freedom. You know, right. I can buy things, so my life must be much better than those poor suckers in Africa who don't have anything. You know? I don't know about that one, but there you go.
Look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. And Will, thank you for coming on. If the only way you can say that your life is good is by comparison, that somebody else's life is worse, then your life ain't that good.
Not that good at all. And there is a much greater reality out there that each and every human can access. I do think with the times ahead, and especially in the next 3 weeks, it's going to be an interesting challenge indeed.
Yep, and interesting challenges are very happy and fun. You can go to rainbow-phoenix.com to see more of Will's work. We'll see you next segment with Daniel Holdings.